Okay, so without any further ado, as time is so short, I'll just begin with the verse. Shinvanti Gayanti Grinantya Bhikshnasa Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitam Jana Ta Eva Pasyantya Chirena Tavakam Pava Prabaho Panamang Padambujam. Translation: O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. Please repeat. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So, I'm not going to attempt the entire purport, as it's long. I'm doing the first paragraph, which is also long, and you've got some sheets there. I'll explain that in a moment. I'll just read the first paragraph to start with. The Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, cannot be seen by our present conditional vision. In order to see him, one has to change his present vision by developing a different condition of life full of spontaneous love of God. When Sri Krishna was personally present on the face of the globe, not everyone could see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Materialists like Ravan, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Jarasandha, and Shishupal were highly qualified personalities by acquisition of material assets, but they were unable to appreciate the presence of the Lord. Therefore, even though the Lord may be present before our eyes, it is not possible to see him unless we have the necessary vision. This necessary qualification is developed by the process of devotional service only, beginning with hearing about the Lord from the right sources. The Bhagavad Gita is one of the popular literatures which are generally heard, chanted, repeated, etc. by the people in general, but in spite of such hearing, etc., sometimes it is experienced that the performer of such devotional service does not see the Lord eye to eye. The reason is that the first item, shravan, is very important. If hearing is from the right sources, it acts very quickly. Generally, people hear from unauthorized persons. Such unauthorized persons may be very learned by academic qualification, but because they do not follow the principles of devotional service, hearing from them becomes a sheer waste of time. Sometimes the texts are interpreted fashionably to suit their own purposes. Therefore, first, one should select a competent and bona fide speaker and then hear from him. When the hearing process is perfect and complete, the other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. So I want to explore some of the meanings that Srila Prabhupada has extracted in his purport from this verse. And in the process of doing so, I would also like to demonstrate a technique which enhances the hearing experience, because this is about shravan. And I know for myself, I find, certainly when I'm reading and usually when I'm hearing, my shravan is not very effective. It's not very good. Things just tend to, you know, wash over. When you're reading, you're just going through the words, but not really assimilating. And there's a method by which one can enhance that, improve that experience. And so if nobody objects, I was going to try and use more people, but my wife's here, and we often do this between us, so I'm going to demonstrate that while at the same time trying to bring out some understandings of what Srila Prabhupada is saying here. I'm not going to make any commentaries myself, really just trying to understand what's on the page. So the process, I'll just quickly explain, is that the first thing is to understand a point that Srila Prabhupada has made. Sometimes it's one sentence, sometimes it may be two. Prabhupada makes very powerful and profound points. And he may do that in several sentences. So what I attempt to do is, first of all, read it and see where the point is. Try to understand that point, putting aside my response. In other words, you know, whether I agree or disagree, however it makes me feel, bracket that for the time being and just really try to focus on the meaning. And that is made actually more easy when another person understands you. So you speak your understanding, the other person then reflects that. Active listening, I think some of you may be familiar, empathic hearing, and then gives you a chance to think you know, a bit more and go perhaps a bit more deeply into the meaning. That's then followed by response. Response is in three levels. I won't have time to explain all that because time is so short. But the first level response is to clarify, deepen the understanding. Second level response is, do I accept this? Can I, you know, is this challenging me in some way? Or does it, you know, that's an actual response. And the third level response is application. We won't have time for the second or third level, but I will try to do the understanding in the first level with the assistance of my wife, Chintamani, who's sitting over there. I hope no one objects. So you'll hear the points twice, first from me and then from my wife. So as you can see on the piece of paper there, I've tried to divide the first paragraph into three, what I feel are three main points. Prabhupada makes main points and subsidiary points. But the main points I've tried to extract, is it two or three? I can't remember. Three. Okay, so the first one, would someone like to read the purport from the Supreme Lord down to, where is it? I haven't got the piece of paper. Necessary vision. Necessary vision, yeah. Anybody? You've got the piece of paper there? One of the metages would be fine. Just go ahead. Thank you. So what I understand Srila Prabhupada to be saying here is that we cannot see Krishna with conditional vision. That even though Krishna may be present, just like Sri Sri Radha Gopinath are here on the altar, and that's actually Krishna in person, and Srimati Radharani in person standing there, but we may not be able to see. I know I can't see them. All I see is a marble statue. And Srila Prabhupada's explaining here why that is, and he's using a term. He's saying we cannot see them because we have conditional vision, and he's saying that if you want to see Krishna actually face to face, the personality of Godhead, then you need to transform your vision. There has some transformation has to occur to enable you, and he says what that is. We have to develop a different condition of life. Our present conditioned life has to change to a different condition, full of spontaneous love. I understand Prabhupada saying the first thing is we have to develop this spontaneous love of God. Yeah. Yeah. and thank you. And to evidence that, Srila Prabhupada is saying that there were many personalities in the past, and he's named them, such as Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, etc. Now, these were very materially advanced personalities, very powerful, for us, inconceivably powerful, inconceivably intelligent, inconceivably opulent. They were so powerful. They had so many followers, so much wealth. They had everything that anyone in this material world might aspire to have. not us, of course, because we're devotees, but the materialists. But anyone who has these, you know, Prabhupada's saying, even if you have all of these material qualifications, that doesn't make you qualified to see God. That's what I understand him to be saying in the second part here. Yeah, thank you. And of course, these personalities are specifically mentioned because Krishna was actually standing in front of them in one form or another, and they were unable to appreciate his presence, understand him. So that I understand. That's the first point, down to that necessary vision. So would someone like to read the second part? Maybe one of the men this time. Do you want to read? Someone there's got the sheet, can read English? Yeah? No? Sorry. This necessary qualification?
This necessary qualification is developed by the process of devotional service only, beginning with hearing about the Lord from the right sources. The Bhagavad Gita is one of the popular literatures which are generally heard, chanted, repeated, etc. by the people in general. Despite of such hearing, etc., sometimes it is experienced that the performer of such devotional service does not see the Lord eye to eye. The reason is that the first item, shravana, is very important. If hearing is from the right sources, it acts very quickly. Generally, people hear from unauthorized persons. Such unauthorized persons may be very learned by academic qualifications, but because they do not follow the principles of devotional service, hearing from them becomes a sheer waste of time. Sometimes the texts are interpreted fashionably to suit their own purposes. Therefore, first one should select a competent and qualified speaker and then hear from them.
Thank you. Okay, so now, having told us that, I understand this, that Srila Prabhupada is saying, having explained that we can't see Krishna, the conditional vision. There isn't really time. There's so many different points. I wasn't able to explore subsidiary points in the first paragraph. I wanted to give an understanding as a first level response of what he means by conditional vision, but because we're really struggling for time, I'll put that aside for the time being. But I'll just understand this second paragraph here. So, having told us we need to make a transformation in our vision by developing spontaneous love of God, he's now explaining how we achieve that. And he's saying this, that it's developed by, I understand, he's saying devotional service, which begins, the primary aspect of devotional service is shravanam, hearing, specifically from the right source. Yeah, and I think especially the right source, Prabhupada is saying, and he's evidencing it again. So his evidence here is this, that the Gita is a popular literature. People in general, they hear and chant the Gita, especially in India, of course, it's very popular. So, you know, they may know, you meet many, that they know the whole Gita. I understand Prabhupada saying that they can repeat the whole Gita. But in spite of that, he's saying, it's seen sometimes that such persons are not developing. They're not seeing Krishna eye to eye. This transformation is not taking place.
Having told us that unless we hear from the right source, our vision won't change, Prabhupada is now giving us some evidence. And this evidence is that Bhagavad Gita is widely known, widely memorized even, and repeated. And yet, the people who know it and repeat it and read it every day, their vision isn't changing because they're not hearing it from the right source.
That's right. Yes, you understood. Thank you. And now Prabhupada is saying, why is that? He's sticking to this point that he's really making, the main point here about Shravana. And he's saying, Shravana is very important. And I understand him to be saying that if you don't get that right, nothing else is going to work. If your Shravana is not done properly, and here he's he's mainly speaking about the right source, then your devotional service won't bear fruit.
Prabhupada's main point here is that Shravana is the key devotional practice. If we don't get the Shravana right, then our other devotional practices will not bear fruit. And you say the main point he's making in this particular quote about what should be right about Shravana is that it has to come from the right source. We must get it right.
Yeah, thank you. And and then he explains that, generally speaking, this doesn't happen. The problem is, why is devotional service not bearing fruit? Because the hearing is not being done from an authorized person. He's saying usually it's an unauthorized source. Even though they may be very learned, they can speak very well, they know so many things, perhaps so much Shastra, but there's something amiss here, because Prabhupada's saying, that alone is not sufficient, and hearing from such persons is just useless. It doesn't achieve any purpose. Yeah, that's fine. Generally, I mean, this is just a very quick demonstration, but and we've been over this ourselves many times, and what will normally happen in this process, someone will understand you, and then you'll be able to, hey, is that what I really think? Or, you know, it will lubricate the thought process and enable you to go more deeply, but obviously we've been over this together because we knew we wouldn't have much time. So, yes, thank you, you've understood me. And at that point further, Prabhupada is saying that what is the problem with an unauthorized person? With the wrong source is that they will add something, they will bring something to their speaking. Prabhupada writes it here, they will interpret it fashionably to suit their own purpose. So, in other words, it won't be not the transparent via medium. Something else will be there which will adulterate, contaminate whatever the text, then it won't be effective, the meaning.
The problem with hearing from an unauthorized source is that they will adulterate the message. They will add something or subtract something to suit their own desires.
Yeah, they'll have an agenda, they'll have something. Yes, that they may want to impress or whatever it may be, and thus they won't it just adulterates and dilutes the potency. Okay, I'll leave that. And so therefore Prabhupada says that you must first of all, to get your Shravana right, make sure you're hearing from the right person. That's the first thing I understand. Select a competent and bona fide speaker. So that's your first business, to find someone who actually is the right source. Thank you. And I think I've written a quotation there, have I, from Srila Prabhupada to... There's so many, but would someone like to read that? Perhaps another metaphor?
Intelligent enough, you will listen to what is
Thank you. Okay, so this is my first level response, which is, what is a right source? A first level response is preceded by a question. You ask yourself a question, like in that first paragraph, I would have asked the question, what does he mean by conditional vision? And then explored that to deepen the understanding, to clarify the understanding. So in this paragraph at least, what does Prabhupada mean by right source? So I've given you this one quotation, and there are many, many, many. Prabhupada so many times talks about the necessity of hearing from the right source. Every time. This is the secret of devotional service. I've understood Prabhupada so many times saying that, now I'm responding, but I'm sorry. But to deepen my understanding of the right source, he's saying here's a realized soul. And I understand what Prabhupada means by that, that this is a person who doesn't just have academic understanding. This is a person who actually can see Krishna eye to eye. And he can, it says here, free us from our material contamination. And I understand Prabhupada is like paraphrasing the verse, Satam Prasangam Mama Virya Sambido, you know this verse, Bhavanti Hritkana, Rasayanakatha, Tajoshna Ash Apavarga Vatmani, Shraddha Ratya Bhakti Anukramishyati. That hearing from such a person, Prabhupada is saying, will bring a relish. You'll hear, oh, this is wonderful. And it will awaken Bhakti, Shraddha, first faith, deep faith, then Rati, and then Bhakti. Love. So that's what I understand Prabhupada saying about the right source.
You're saying that you want to deepen your
Yes, that's what I understand. So I understand that. And the Prabhupada saying, find such a person. This is the key thing. Okay, so now the last point, which is really the last sentence of this paragraph, is Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai Jagannath Baladev Sabhadra Ki Jai Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai. So Prabhupada says, when the hearing process is perfect and complete, the other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. So here I understand Prabhupada saying that that you must hear properly. He's given us this already, this understanding that we have to hear from the right source. And I understand he's saying now that when you get it right, when your hearing is right, then the other processes will also become perfect. And now what I understand by that is that they will be effective. If your hearing is effective, if you're getting that right, and the Shraddha, Rati, and Bhakti, and step by step are unfolding, then the other Angas of Bhakti will become effective. I understand what he's saying is, if your shravana is not good, the other angas won't be effective. You may work very hard for Krishna, do so many things, but if your shravana is not there and it's not right, then those processes will not be as effective as they could. Can we come to this in a minute? We'll come to your response in a sec. I've nearly finished. That's very good. Thank you. Yeah, we'd like to hear that. But I'll just complete this if I can. Yeah? So there's one quotation at the end which I don't have. Oh gosh, it's a long one. Would someone like to read this?
Now we have received this news, very pleasing. Now next duty, touch jasana. Now if you little try to assimilate it, and what is that assimilation? Smaranam. Simply by thinking, oh, this has been spoken, trying to argue whether it is true or not. So you have to think over. Satam prashangam, touch jasanat ashvapavarga vatmani. And if you do that, suppose you hear something of the Bhagavad Gita and it appeals to you, or even does not appeal to you, just try to think over what Bhagavad Gita says, how Swamiji has discussed this matter, apply your arguments, apply your logic. Don't take it as a sentiment or as blind faith. You have got reason, you have got arguments, you have got sense. Apply it and try to understand it. Neither it is bogus, it is scientific. Then you will feel. Tach jorsanat ashvapavarga vartmani shadharatir bhaktir anukramishyanti. You will gradually develop your attachment for hearing it, and devotional service will be invoked in your heart. And then, gradually, you will make progress. Lecture from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 11, 12, New York, July 28, 1966.
Thank you. So, just in conclusion then, I would, you know, as a first level response to this sentence, ask myself, what does he mean by perfect and complete? Is it enough to simply hear from the right source? Is that all I have to do? Okay, Srila Prabhupada is the right source. We'll all agree. I just have to hear Srila Prabhupada. That's all I have to do. But I understand here that Srila Prabhupada is saying there's something more. It isn't just hearing from the right person. It's how we hear. The two things are needed. It's hearing from the right person, and it's hearing in the right way. And here I understand Prabhupada to be saying something about how we should hear. We shouldn't just sit there and, you know, just blindly accept everything, just, you know, without any thought. We should be applying our thought. Prabhupada's saying here, apply your arguments, apply your logic. Don't take it as a sentiment or blind faith. You've got reason, you've got arguments, you've got sense. Apply it, try to understand it. So that's what one of the points here I've been trying to make, that we should try to do that. We should look at Srila Prabhupada's statements, try to understand them, and then go more deeply into them, and then ask ourselves, challenge ourselves, do I accept that? Do I have any doubts? You know, and then explore that, and especially explore that, satang prasangam, in the association of other devotees, in a discussion forum. It's just me and my wife here. Maybe some of others of you here are also familiar with these techniques and are able to do that, and that would be wonderful if we have a little time, we could do that. But that's my final understanding on this last point. Thank you. So, well, we only have a short time, so one Prabhu here had a point. So if you want to, you know, make some response, that's wonderful. And the way that I would suggest this is done is, first of all, give the understanding to which you're responding. That, you know, because what will happen is, I totally disagree with you. And then the question is, well, what do you disagree with? I think the first thing one should do is enunciate the understanding, and then say, I have a different light, I have a different idea or a different vision on that, which is wonderful, because there are so many different lights. Prabhupada says, explore my books from different lights of vision, and, you know, each verse of the Bhagavatam can be understood in so many ways like that. So there's no problem with different lights, but before one gives a light, if it's a response to another person's light, another person's understanding, then please just quickly express what you've understood and then say, I see it differently, or whatever it may be, and that's okay. So what was your name, Prabhu? What was it you had understood something that I'd said? What was it that you understood? Okay, so what you're saying is that your understanding of Prabhupada's statement here is, I think the one you're saying is that the last line, when the hearing process...
It doesn't automatically mean the opposite.
Right. So he's saying, this sentence, when the hearing process is perfect and complete, the other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. You don't understand it in the same way. You don't understand that Prabhupada's saying that first you must have your hearing in place properly, perfect and complete. Your understanding is that you can immediately do any of the other processes. If you want, you can straight away do dasyam or something, atmanivedanam. So you're saying anything will do. Okay. Okay. So you're saying even though he says here when the hearing is perfect and complete, the other processes will follow automatically perfect. You're saying you don't have to take the opposite side of that. In other words, if the hearing process is not perfect and complete, then the other processes will not become perfect.
Why? Because he's not saying that anywhere.
Okay, so yeah, fair enough. So you're saying that's not actually stated explicitly here. Fair enough. Another Prabhu had his hand up. Are you on, which point are you understanding? Same point as... So you also, what you understand is that somebody can just work. He doesn't have to do much Shravanam, perhaps any Shravanam. And you gave the example like in Varnashram, I presume you mean Shudras, that kind of thing. That so you're saying you may first begin with Padasevanam and then come back to Shravanam.
My understanding of this is that
So you're saying you were 10. Sorry?
When you have the basic understanding, then some of other processes may be your favorite one. It's not it. But you can't, I don't think you can do the worship properly without hearing about what is the. That's why we have, we can worship the after we accept second initiation from before. Because before enough to see this to qualify. But the second initiation confirms that you are, that you've heard enough about Krishna that you can see that you can be the deity properly, the proper attitude, so you can worship properly.
Thank you. I'll just understand Jai Gaurinitai Prabhu, and then I think we'll have to terminate because we've gone over time already, but perhaps it can continue at a later stage. So you're saying that, you know, you feel that, okay, if you want to do deity worship, if you want to do some form of devotional service, then you first have to understand how to do that. You know, you have to understand something about Krishna. If you want to offer prayers, then you have to understand how the previous acharyas have offered prayers. We can't just sort of make up our own prayers. We need to follow in the footsteps, in the line of parampara. And the you have to hear about Krishna. What is deity worship? Who is Krishna? How is he supposed to be worshipped? And then you can worship him nicely. But if you haven't heard, then many people approach that with the wrong understanding, and it's not effective. So whatever form of devotional service you're attracted to, that's okay. That may become your favorite. You may, you know, focus simply on Padasevanam. But prior to doing that, you need to hear from the authority in order to know how to do Padasevanam, and then you can do it nicely. That's what I understood, yeah? I have to stop, right? Okay, maybe last point, yeah.
The quote is, when the hearing process is perfect and complete. So we have some knowledge about dating, but it's not saying that you're perfect at Shama. Of course, you have to hear first to understand that Shama is Prabhupada's glorifying, it's very important. But all nine of them are just as important and just as powerful.
So you're saying that you may hear a little bit about deity worship, and that's nice, and that will enable you to do it, but it's not that it's perfect. So what's implicit in your statement, Prabhu, is that you understand perfect and complete to mean that you must have already become perfect in hearing. I to explore what the word perfect means and complete. I think that would be required here to perhaps clarify the difference of opinion. Maybe you have a different opinion about the understanding. That's why I'm saying the importance of understanding, because what do I understand perfect and complete to me? My understanding of perfect and complete is hearing from the right person in the right way. Not that I am now experiencing pure love of God, but I've got those two things in place. I know who is the right person, I've approached the right person, and now I'm hearing him in the right way, questioning, trying to understand what he's saying. So, as you say, that doesn't mean that I now have complete knowledge of everything, because that takes time, obviously, to achieve. All right, so maybe I should stop there. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.